Well, good morning again. You know, I just really feel blessed that God has allowed us to do this. You know, this is something we'll probably never forget if things ever get back to normal, whatever normal is. But today I'm just very thankful. I'm very thankful to the Stefanin family for allowing us to do this. I'm very thankful to the parking lot guys who brave your guys' crazy, insane driving and risk their lives week after week. I'm thankful for Sean, who's in there helping us with the sound, for Joel, who brings his lift every week. But I'm thankful most of all that Jesus Christ is here with us today. And I'm thankful that he loves us, and I'm thankful that the Bible says he's coming back quick for us. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. I'm normally not a topical teacher. I like to go line upon line and precept upon precept through the Bible. It's just the way I've been trained, and it's just what works for me. But it seems like there's been a theme that God has been challenging my heart with early in the week as I'm meditating on what to share here Sunday mornings. And a lot of these themes that he puts on my heart are in the form of questions. And I think right now, I think there's a lot of questions in life. And what we're seeing here in John 18 is another question. It's an encounter that produces a question. It's when the holy life of Jesus Christ intersects the unholy life of Pontius Pilate. So if you'll turn to John 18, or if you're there with me right now, verse 36, Jesus answered him. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." And Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus said, "You sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" This is a biblical encounter. It's a brief conversation that concludes with a question that we each as individuals must answer. What is truth? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines truth as the body of real things, events, and facts and actuality. Oxford says that truth is in accordance with fact, reality, accurate, and exact. Truth is that which is constant and it's unchangeable. But these days, it seems like there's a lot of questions and maybe not so much a lot of answers. What's this all about? The things that we're currently facing. What's life all about? What's my purpose? What about when this is all over? Is there ultimate absolute truth? Who decides that? Is there consequences to not finding it? And does it really matter? Pilate's question was as simple as this, and maybe it's the same question that you have in your heart today as you sit here in your car or you watch us online. What is truth? I think as we look at this encounter of Pontius and Jesus, Pilate and Jesus, I think there's another question involved here that isn't recorded in the Bible. I think the question really would be a challenge from the Holy Spirit to Pilate, to you, and to me, that if truth was standing right in front of you, are you even open to it? Are you open to it? Would you respond to it? Or would you be indifferent to it? I see here the sovereign love of God put this corrupt political figure at a crossroads. And he puts before him this individual that the religious sector wants to assassinate, who proclaims to be truth, And Pilate has a decision to make. My mind, right off the bat, as I prepared Sunday, was thinking about our quest for truth. But immediately, the Holy Spirit redirected my thoughts and also comforted my heart that we are not on a quest for truth. Truth is on a quest for us. Truth at this point was on a quest for Pontius Pilate. The one who created him, who had observed him from a little boy being born into this world, watched every circumstance, good or bad, hard or easy, blessed or cursed, that had entered into his life, and the love of God presented almighty truth and put it right before him. This was an intersection. This was a crossroads. This was a divine opportunity. I look at the Bible, and I see what it says, that reality is that there is none that seeketh God. I can testify of that in my own life. I wasn't seeking after God in my life. I was actually living my life my way, but God came seeking after me. When you look at what is recorded in the Scriptures, you see that even with the apostles, when Jesus called the 12 apostles, he did tell them, he goes, look, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen you. John, one of the apostles, tells us that we only love him because he first loved us. What does that mean? That means there was a quest of Almighty God to introduce your life and my life to truth because you're loved by him. And we're brought at crossroads in our lives. And Pontius Pilate here was with Jesus Christ, and maybe the crossroads of your life today might be listening to the gospel of Jesus online or being here at the Silver Lake Drive-In. But the reality is, you need to know is that God loved you so much that there's a quest. He's producing an intersection of truth in your life because he wants you to find truth. I was just talking to a brother and sister the other day. We had coffee together, and they were sharing their testimony with me of all these people that God had placed in their life to continue to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ and their need for Jesus Christ, that he just wouldn't be a religion to them, but that he'd be a real living relationship to them, and how God had sovereignly done that. Why? Because God was on a quest for their lives. Now, if you look back in verse 37 of John 18, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? And Jesus said, thou sayest that I'm a king. He says, to this end was I born. Okay? And the end that he's talking about, speaking about his birth, our mind goes to the manger. Our mind goes to the incarnation. Our mind goes to the fact that this is Emmanuel, God with us. That was the prophecy. But the end that he's talking about is the victorious claim that he would make on the cross just before he passed into eternity, where he would say, it is finished. Christ came into that manger with a mission to go to a cross to give you and me the opportunity to have our souls redeemed before the throne of God. To have the opportunity to be saved and to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ and to be forgiven. That was the end that he came for. But he said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And bearing witness to the truth, Jesus means I came to give evidence to what is truly reality. That's what Jesus said. Now, what he says here, though, is I came to bear witness. He didn't say to a truth, the truth. That's singular. That Christ came to give witness to the truth. And he said that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So people that are of the truth, it speaks in the Greek of literally that you and I would have our roots in his truth. That you and I would draw our faith from his truth. That would produce faith and obedience in our life. Now, a prior chapter to this, in John 17, Jesus made this proclamation. This is what he said. He said, thy word is truth. That's what Christ said. So as we're thinking about him giving testimony to the truth, how he has said in his high priestly prayer that God's word is truth, one of the things that we need to recognize about this word that we're looking at here, that this is a living word. Because in the Gospel of John, it tells us in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. And verse 14 says that the Word, this was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father that was full of grace and truth. Christ would tell us in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Okay, he said the way, singular, the truth, singular, and the life, singular. And he said that there's no other way unto the Father but through me. So Jesus Christ did this. He announced the way to the Father, the one singular way. It was through him, faith in him, what he did, and what he says. And he denounced any other way to the Father. It doesn't matter how sincere people are. People can be sincerely wrong. God is looking to give truth encounters to people whose hearts are open to him. That's what Jesus Christ is trying to do today. As he said that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And Jesus proclaimed to be the truth. I want to tell you right now that the Bible is unlike any other book. The Word of God said this is a living, active, working Word. That this book is alive. Its truths are alive. And the truths of this Bible don't only change our lives, they change the eternal direction of our destinies in eternity. But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the personification of truth. Jesus Christ is the personification of truth. He's the embodiment of truth. Thus, he is the reference point of all truth. Look it, there is absolute truth. You need to know that today. There is absolute truth. So if there is absolute truth, then I can find absolute answers to my absolute questions. And they're all found in Jesus Christ. If you will, turn to John chapter 8 with me for a moment. But Jesus Christ announced himself as truth. This is the Word that became truth, put on flesh, dwelt among us, lived on this earth approximately 33 years. Not much about him his first 30 years. 3 years of a ministry. He was the manifestation of God in human flesh. That's why Christ was here. Christ was here for us to reveal the truths of God, but he was also here to reveal the God of the truth. So whenever you want to have any questions of what God is, who he is, or what he's like, you look to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God. So we see here, his claim makes him the source of all truth. And what I have found in my life is what oxygen does to our bodies, Jesus Christ does to our souls. Jesus gives life. He gives spiritual life, he gives eternal life, and he gives abundant life. But he's a God that speaks truth into us because he's a God of truth. And look what he says in verse 30 of John 8. John 8, verse 30 says, and he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Okay, so that was the key. This is a whole group of people he's talking about here, talking about the people that believed him. And Jesus said to the Jews which believed, he says this, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So there's a link that's taking place here, okay? It takes a believing heart into the word of God, which makes us a disciple, which reveals to us truth, which gives us a life of freedom. How many of you out there have experienced great freedom because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? Ultimately, what he did at the cross, what he did for you, what he did for me, what he did for us at the cross, is he freed us from the power and the penalty of sin in our lives. That's what he did generally overall. That's what he did positionally. But then practically, practically, he works in our lives as individuals to bring us out of any form of bondages that we might be able to experience the freedom we've been offered in Christ. He brings us out of, he brings us into the freedom. He brings us out of bitterness and hatred and resentment and unforgiveness. He brings us out of fears and anxieties and things that just seem to be dominating people's lives today. Why? Because this thing is so real and it's so true. Its truth is greater than anything that we see in our circumstances. And when our hearts are open to it, it impacts the people that we are. But I want you to let you know that in this Pilate encounter, that we see an invisible war on truth. Why was Jesus charged guilty? Why was he even brought before Pilate? Because behind the scenes, there's an invisible war on the truth. And there's a desire to extinguish truth. That's why a few moments later, the voice of the majority in the crowd would say, "Lead him away, put him to death, crucify him." Right now we can turn on the news and we can see the different wars that are waging around the world. But the greatest war you can't see on the news, you can only see through the lens of Scripture. There's a spiritual war. It's raging right now globally and it's with us presently. It's a war upon the God of truth and it's a war upon the truth of God. There is a real enemy. He's a fallen archangel by the name of Lucifer, who's now the devil. He took one third of the angelic realm with him. And he's a spiritual military strategist trying to keep people blind to their need for Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God tells Adam that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thus thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day you shall eat thereof, you shall surely die. And one chapter later in the Bible, we see the serpent talking to Eve, and this is what he says, "You shall not surely die." He spoke the exact opposite. He had her believing the exact opposite than the Word of God. How many people today are believing the exact opposite of the Word of God? Because behind the scenes, there's a spiritual war where there's a real enemy that wants to keep people blind to the fact that there's an eternity, and the only way that you're going to get into that eternity in heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of planet Earth. A lot of people are asking a lot of questions lately about Bible prophecy, how COVID-19 relates to the things that are taking place. A lot of people's hearts are sensitive. We're seeing things unlike we've ever seen. People have heard, you know, prophecies are being fulfilled. And right now there is things that are taking place that are pointing in that direction. The book of Revelation points to the fact that someday there's going to be a one world global government, a one world global economy system. And it's all one world global religion, and it's all going to be ruled by a one world global leader by the name of Antichrist. But when Jesus Christ was asked by his disciples 2,000 years ago, "What's going to be the sign of these things, the end of the age, and the sign of your coming?" The very first thing that he said was this: "You take heed that no one deceives you, because many are going to come in my name, and they're going to deceive many." The first sign that Jesus Christ gave about him returning to the earth was that there is going to be an overwhelming intensity of spiritual deception in his name. It will call itself Christian, but the reality is it's spiritual, but it's not biblical. The Word of God is our reference point of truth. Jesus said it was. But just like in the days of Christ, there's nothing new under the sun. When Christ was on this earth, two of the major religion systems of the day, two of the largest denominations in Israel, he took on. Because the Bible says that God wants truth on the inward parts, and Christ could see right to the inside of these individuals. One of these groups was known as the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, Jesus Christ gave this indictment to them, that you err because you know not the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Think about that right now. That our lives could be in great error if we don't know the Bible, if we don't know the Scriptures. That's what he told this whole group of religious leaders. They were spiritual, but they were not biblical. They honored God with their lips, but the reality is their hearts were far from Him. The second group that he took on was a larger group, and these groups were named as the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, Jesus told them that they were of their father, the devil. Now look at, this is the religious establishment. These were the heads of religious Israel. And Jesus had the guts to tell them that they were in error and they were under demonic influence because they were not telling the truth to the people. Because they were not living the truth. How important is it to Jesus Christ that you and I know the truth? He died for the truth. He died for the truth that you and I are sinners that need a Savior. That's why He died. He came to bear witness to the truth. That's what He told Pontius Pilate. But He tells this group of religious leaders that you're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning because he did not abode in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and he's the father of it. And the indictment Jesus gave these individuals is that's the spiritual head of your life. Look, there's a chance that we can be sincere about what we believe, but we can be sincerely wrong. The reality is that God has introduced truth to this world, and that truth is found through His Son Jesus Christ in His Word that He proclaimed to be the truth. And it's very important for you and I that we find it. Now, for me, I encourage my church continually that there was a group of people in the Bible known as the Bereans. And it says that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Hey, think about what you believe today and ask yourself what it's based on. Is it based on your own theories? Is it based on what somebody else told you? Or is it based on a reference point that Jesus Christ said is the truth? What is truth? As the Church of Jesus Christ, we're to contend for the faith. That means we need to daily pull out the sword of truth, pull it out of its sheath, and go to war against anything that would threaten God's truth in my life. Through my thoughts, through my feelings, through any form of lie that would try to get into my heart. And we're called to defend the sacred ground of the redeemed hearts and minds from being infiltrated and invaded by oppositions to divine truth. The true church, Paul wrote to Timothy, is called to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. A pillar speaks of support and strength, and ground speaks of a foundation to build life and to build society on. That's what the true church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be built on how I feel or how I think, or it's not supposed to be built on what the majority wants or anything like that. It's supposed to be built on what the one who died for us says to be true. And if we've accepted a high calling of being one of Jesus Christ, being one of His disciples, we're part of His church, because you can't join the Church of Christ. You've got to be born into it, and thus we're guardians of truth. We're called to be guardians of truth. That means I have a sacred oath before Almighty God to love you enough to not stand up here and tell you what you want to hear, but to stand up here and tell you what we all need to hear. And I'm here to tell you today that if you've ever doubted the love of God for your life, you've got to look at the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's where God said, I will demonstrate the value that you hold to me in the bloody body of my Son. And if we're members of the true church of Jesus Christ, one that you can't join, one you have to be born into by faith, then the truth is very important to us, because we serve a God of truth. And the scripture tells us that if we're guardians of truth, then we're going to walk in the truth. 3 John, verse 3. We're going to love and believe the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. And we're going to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4, 32. Like Pilate, truth is standing before us today, and we have a decision to make. Maybe it's not the physical embodiment of Jesus Christ like Pilate saw, but nevertheless, it sits right here. That this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the personification of this truth. And he stands before you today. What is your truth? Jesus Christ said this is truth. What do you say? I'm going to trust the one who rose himself from the grave, just like he said he would, and stepped out of Joseph of Arimathea's tomb 2,000 years ago so he could step into Jeff Gesno's life 26 years ago. That's the one who I'm going to choose to believe. The one who died for me. The one that rose again the third day. Pilate said, what is truth? And it was standing right before him. And he missed the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity that Jesus Christ is introducing himself to you. And maybe he's introducing himself to you, and maybe you're sensing this draw in your life to seek out the things of God, because he's using our current pandemic to bring you to a point of personal surrender at his cross, to receive his love and his forgiveness and his redemption by becoming the Lord and the Savior of your life. I don't want anybody to leave here today with any questions in their mind. I want you to know this. God loves you. God created you. You were made in the image of Almighty God. But there's the curse of sin that you have to deal with in your life. But the good news is, sin to the soul is like cancer to the body. And though we might not have a cure for cancer as of yet, there is a cure for sin. The cure for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross for you and I. Christ came because you're guilty. I'm guilty. We look at the Word of God and we look at our lives, and if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that I have broken the laws of God. Thus, I'm guilty. But Jesus came to do something about our guilt. He actually came to pay the penalty that you and I deserve so that we could receive the forgiveness and the freedom that he offers. Today's maybe your encounter. Maybe this is your Pilate moment. The Bible says we're to learn from the examples of the Scripture. Pilate was not a good example, because Pilate did nothing with Jesus Christ. Learn from his error that you would not make the same mistake. What's your truth today? Christ proclaims to be the truth. Do you believe that? Will you surrender your life to that? Because you can't straddle the fence. You're either all in or you're all out. Jesus didn't come to give you a religion. Actually, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were two huge religious sects that were leading the people in error, and he rebuked them. Jesus came so he could walk out of that tomb to walk into your life at this moment on this day in May of 2020 at the Silver Lake Drive-In. And if that's you today, we're going to pray. And if you've come to the understanding that you need the forgiveness of God in your life, and you want a new start in life, and you want God dwelling inside you to help you and to give you everything that you need to this life, then this is your moment to succeed where Pilate failed. Because truth has been put before you today. And wise people will surrender themselves to it. So I'm going to pray, and if you mean it with your heart, God will step into your life at this very moment. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He will save your soul. He will step into your life and walk with you through the rest of this life. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you hope. He'll answer the questions. You have found truth in Christ. So if that's you today, you can pray after me right now and open your heart to Christ. Father, I see that your Son and your words are truth. And I recognize that you sent your Son to die on a cross for my sins. And I acknowledge that I'm a sinner that needs saving. And I want to ask you today to forgive me. I open my heart to you, and I ask you to step into my life and to be my Lord and my Savior. I turn my life over to you at this moment, and I pray that you would come into me and give me a personal relationship with you. Lead me in your ways, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if that's one of you out there today, please, we want to give you a Bible. It's our way of blessing you. It's God's way of blessing you. It's one of the greatest gifts you can ever have in this life is the Word of God. And as you pull out of here today, guys will be handing out Bibles. Just roll down your window and we'd be happy to bless you with the Scriptures. But I pray for you moms out there today. May you be richly blessed. May the Spirit of God bring you great encouragement and wisdom. And we thank you for the resource of just being such a comfort and an encouragement and so nurturing in our lives. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week in Him.